Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest by your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame and sugar when we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage, and the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. The Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. Now, you know, our princes and politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control, but you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years, now, have we? That's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts. It doesn't come from our political process, our politicians, our lawyers, or our bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power in America is in our courts, not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. And be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that number is 417-273-4967. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. Courtroom strategy and procedures available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email. Send an email request for that free general law CD package. Or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Hey, last time we were talking about this thing of sucralose, Splenda. And the interviewer there, the doctor, the guy answering the questions, said that he had a story here called Splenda's Dangers, One Man's Personal Story That You Should Know. So I happened to get that off their website there, and I thought I'd share it with you. It's just a short story. But it's a story of a guy that was in good health. This isn't some sickie. This isn't some old fat, bald bartender someplace. You know, this is a young fella who's in pretty good health to start with. Listen to this. He said, "It's contributed by Stephen G. I just wanted to thank you guys, as without your website, I'd be in the mental ward right now. I'm a big coffee drinker, but my family has a history of diabetes, so I decided that I should cut out the sugar that I added to my coffee, so I started using an artificial sweetener. So I switched to using Splenda in my coffee about 2 months ago. Now, I'm no wimp, and I'm not a health nut or anything like that. I'm a former football player, a vice president with a major banking institution, and a kind of a tough guy. So let me put it this way. The last time I cried was when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. So anyway, I was using Splenda, and I started getting withdrawn. I had trouble focusing, and I started to have problems with frustration. Gradually, I became more and more depressed, and I thought it was stress or it was my job. Well, last Thursday, I completely fell apart, and my girlfriend came over, and she found me crying uncontrollably for no reason, and all I could say was, "I'll be okay." She couldn't get me to move. She couldn't talk me down, and I couldn't tell her what was wrong. She was so shocked that I'd never done anything even remotely like this before, and so she made me go to the hospital. Well, the doctors at the hospital were so concerned about my condition, they wanted to check me into the mental health ward. Well, being the way that I am, I refused, but I did agree to come back the next day and see a psychiatrist, which I did. And he put me on a huge dose of Effexor. And that night, I was on the web, and for some unknown reason, I did a search for Splenda. And I found the www.mercola.com website. When I read your information on Splenda, I was shocked. I simply had no clue. Well, now I'm 100% convinced that my mental health issues were a direct result of using Splenda. I even had the stomach cramps and chest pains that other people have mentioned after using Splenda, but I dismissed them as panic attacks and stress. So the next morning I got up and I had some more Splenda, and lo and behold, I started feeling the symptoms of a deepening depression again. So it was clearly due to the Splenda, so I tossed it out. And I just want to say thank you. I would love to help get this product off the market. By the way, I missed work because of my ordeal, so I had to tell my boss about my problems, and now I have to explain to him that I'm not nuts or having a breakdown. How embarrassing. Thanks again. All right, so there's your story on Splenda, one man's story. I got to report to you that I did this aspartame story here in 2003. And it's on our webpage. I just did a 1 hour story on aspartame. And I have received probably 10 or 15 letters over the last 2 or 3 years. Not earth shaking. You know, I didn't receive tens of thousands of responses, but I did get 10 or 15. And people have said, you know, until you mentioned that on the radio, I had no idea that the symptoms that I was suffering from might be caused by aspartame or some artificial sweetener. So I got off of it for a while, and lo and behold, my symptoms went away. A guy the other day sent me a letter more recently that his wife was having bad symptoms. And he said to her, why don't you get off that diet pop? And she did. She got off of it for 30 days or something like that and started feeling good again. So she said, well, gee, it makes sense to me that it's obviously that aspartame in there that's causing my problem. Now, of course, people want to know. They'll write in. They'll send me an email, and they'll say, well, now you know it all. They want to jump in my you-know-what. And they say, well, if it's been approved by the government, what makes you think that it isn't any good? They get kind of snotty. You know, ever notice that? People that are in denial, these are probably people that eat the stuff, and it makes them feel bad, you know, if somebody points out to them that maybe they've made a mistake. Now, you want to remember that I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not out here writing letters to my Senator Chris Bond encouraging him to sponsor some legislation to abolish aspartame or Splenda or artificial sweeteners or anything else. First of all, I've got better things in life to do than to waste my time sending a letter to a politician. The politician was the problem. There's nothing that I can conceive of that would indicate to me that a politician is going to solve my problem when he's the guy that created it. So if I've got a problem, I've got to solve it myself. So I'm pretty careful about what I eat, and I guess I'm a health food nut. I don't drink chlorinated water, you know, when I stay in a motel or something like that. I take bottled water. I take the water off of our farm with us when we go someplace. I take gallons and gallons and gallons of it. You know, I stick it in my van and tool off down the road, and that's what we drink. And then when I run out, you know, I go in and buy distilled water. You know, I try to avoid that chlorine in the water. I kind of knew about that. But, you know, this aspartame is in the food that you eat. You know, if you're like I am, you know, you like Hershey candy bars and Oreo cookies and all the good stuff, you know, in the supermarket. And they have packages. And on the package, they have ingredients. And those ingredients are oftentimes deceptive. Yes, sir, Rebob, they lie. I mean, Bill Clinton, he's a nice guy. And he was being asked about the pharmaceutical industry. He has a foundation. And he's into curing AIDS, see, and so he wants to treat AIDS with drugs. And so he went to India and bought the AIDS drugs for $2,000 for a year supply for a victim of AIDS. In the United States, it costs $100,000 for a year supply. And Dan Rather, you know Dan Rather, the paid professional liar in the news media, well, he was interviewing Bill Clinton, the paid professional political liar. And the two liars were interviewing each other and answering questions. And Dan Rather asked Bill Clinton why it was that he could get the same AIDS drugs that are sold in America for $100,000 for $2,000 in India. And he said, well, because the Indian government decided that people in India could not afford $100,000 a year and that $2,000 would be more reasonable. And so Dan Rather said, well, do you think that the drug manufacturers in America are price gouging Americans by charging them $100,000 if the Indians and the Indian drug manufacturers can do the same job for $2,000? And Bill Clinton, in his political, never-ending lying diatribe, said, well, I wouldn't say that they were price gouging, but I would say that they probably could do it for a lot less without suffering very much profit loss. Now, there's a politician who receives campaign contributions from these drug manufacturing companies, and he knows that his wife's going to be running for president here in a couple of years, and he doesn't want to offend these big, deep-pocket donors to his wife's election campaign. Now, I'm not running for political office, so I can just tell you where the bear does it and the rubber meets the road. So let's take a look at aspartame toxicity. Now, this is an article. It came off the web also, I think. No, it didn't. It's compiled from volumes of available published information by the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. Now, I'll bet you they probably have a website. They're called the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. This is copyrighted 1990. It's a printed article. And it's called the Story of the Deadly Deception. How did these multinational corporations like Monsanto and Searle Pharmaceutical, how did they get this stuff through the FDA, the USDA, through the government regulatory agencies, and then into your food supply? How did they accomplish that? If this stuff is as toxic and deadly and as poisonous as all of these guys are telling us it is, well then, how come the FDA approved it then, huh? Just tell me that. Okay, sucker, sit down. Shut up and fold your hands and listen up. I'll tell you. Aspartame toxicity is commonly misdiagnosed with many other ailments due to the similarity of symptoms, such as Alzheimer's disease, the elusive Epstein-Barr, now entitled chronic fatigue syndrome, Mental illness, severe depression, aggressive behavior. Well, aspartame changes the ratio of the amino acids in the bloodstream, and it blocks or it lowers the levels of serotonin, tyrosine, dopamine, norepinephrine, and adrenaline in your brain. Hey, we heard that story from another article, didn't we? It's estimated that 500,000 teenagers will attempt suicide, and 5,000 are going to succeed this year, according to the authors of Teen Suicide. Last year alone, 40 million people, that's one in six, including 9,500,000 children, suffered some kind of mental illness. Combined with emotional disorders, these mental dislocations contribute to family violence at a cost of $40 billion a year. And the vast majority have had a psychiatric diagnosis, according to Thomas Platt, or Pluett, P-L-A-U-T, I don't know how to pronounce that, but P-L-A-U-T, the acting deputy director of the biometrics at the National Institutes of Mental Health. Now, the FDA and Searle, that's the NutraSweet company, claim that all of these adverse symptoms reported are anecdotal. That is, they believe that they cannot be proven to be caused by the ingestion of aspartame. I got to pause right there. Instead of trying to prove this negative, why don't we put the shoe on the other foot and make the Searle company prove that it's not their aspartame that causes it? For instance, the NutraSweet company could do this very easily. They could go out and they could hire 1,000 volunteers and say, here, we're going to feed you aspartame. And we're going to monitor you 1,000 volunteers that we're going to pay $1,000 each. Now, how much money is that? 1,000 volunteers times $1,000 is a paltry $1 million. A paltry $1 million. And then we're going to monitor your health. We're going to watch for these 92 symptoms. If we put you on this diet of aspartame in place of sugar, kind of like supersize me, we're going to put you on this diet of exclusive McDonald's. We're going to put you on an exclusive diet of aspartame. Everything that you eat that is sweetened is going to be sweetened with aspartame. No more sugar. And you'll just have your regular diet. Whatever it is you eat, that's fine. But we're going to, you know, if you're going to drink Coke, it's got to be Coke with aspartame. If you're going to put sugar on your mush in the morning, it's got to be aspartame. And we're going to watch you for, oh, let's say 6 months or a year. And make them prove that these 1,000 people don't have any of these 92 symptoms. Now, don't you think that that would be a better test than allowing them to put this stuff out in the marketplace and then say, oh, well, just because a bunch of people out here are kooks and nuts and are complaining about these symptoms doesn't mean that it was aspartame that caused it. But when you find people that are suffering from these 92 symptoms and you take them off of aspartame, the symptoms go away. Now, I'm just an old country boy, boys and girls, and I ain't too smart, but I'm smart enough to know that the corporation cannot be trusted to do its own testing and research and then give us an unbiased report. Because I know that if I was doing this test and that I had a financial interest, I'd phony up the numbers and sell you whatever it is that I wanted to make profit and gain. And if I would do it, I think that the Searle and the Monsanto companies would do it. I think they're just as larcenous as I am. Now, because it's common that a person will not experience noticeable illness from a short-term usage of aspartame, Searle claims that it is proof that there is no problem with safety, ignoring the fact that the effects of aspartame poisoning are usually cumulative. See, you can go in, and I've done this a couple of times, I sat down, ordered a cup of coffee, and said, Jason, let me try this NutraSweet here. And I put that in my coffee, and I drank it. And I said, boy, it doesn't taste as good as sugar. In fact, I thought it tasted like dog poop, but, you know, I drank it down. I walked out. I got in the car and drove down the road, and I didn't have a psychiatric event, and I didn't die. I didn't have any symptoms. Not a single one of those symptoms came up. Now, if you would say, well, see, Gordon, that proves the point. You admit yourself that you ate some NutraSweet, and it didn't give you any of those symptoms. Shucks, there was one guy that was in the special on Super Size Me on the McDonald's story, and this guy ate an average of 2 McDonald's Big Macs a day and had for several years. Not only wasn't he fat, he didn't suffer any adverse effects. There's probably some pretty strong people out there that could probably eat that aspartame and never have any effect at all. Zero, zilch. My suggestion is give it to 1,000 people for a year, and then let's note the effect. And tell them, hey, look, here's the 92 symptoms. If you come up with any of these symptoms, let us know. If you don't have any of these symptoms, the stuff must be pretty good. And you're a guinea pig, and we're paying you $1,000 to test this. We'd just soon kill 1,000 people first before we give it to millions of people and maybe kill tens of thousands. I mean, you know, it's nothing personal, it's just business. In the spirit of the cooperation, Searle does offer capsules of aspartame to anyone wishing to participate in tests as human guinea pigs. Well, that's really big of them. I haven't had any of them offered to me. And I haven't seen anybody offering to pay me to be a human guinea pig for a year, and let's figure out whether or not this stuff causes a test. First of all, I don't want the $1,000, and I don't want to be the guinea pig. What I want to do is watch you do it. And then after a year, I can say, oh, that stuff must be pretty safe. Didn't kill old Bob. And he didn't have any of those 92 symptoms. And by the way, I think that lupus and Alzheimer's disease and fatigue syndrome are pretty serious diseases. Well, anyway, any test using capsules would not accurately give a valid indication of the degree of possible adverse effects of aspartame, since it is far more potent in a liquid form. That's according to a scientific study done for the Searle Company by Steg Inc., Filler, Bell, and Ziegler. Dr. L.J. Elsis of Emory University has noted that the absorption rate of aspartame is 50% less when encapsulated. Unfortunately, the only available scientific method to date, other than empirical, to prove aspartame's damaging effects on the human organism is by post-mortem autopsy. Well, I think we ought to have more post-mortems to determine, well, did this guy have a lot of aspartame in his body? It isn't surprising that Dr. Robert Shapiro, the CEO and the chairman of the board of Searle, was quoted as saying that he only drinks soft drinks sweetened with sugar. What do we know about that? Gee, the CEO of the Searle pharmaceutical company that makes aspartame doesn't use it himself. What's that tell you? God, that'd be like me selling you a cow, and I'd say, gosh, I wouldn't drink that stuff coming out of that cow's bag. What does that say about the milk from the cow if I wouldn't drink it? No. I don't think that people should sell stuff that they themselves wouldn't drink, wouldn't eat, and wouldn't participate in. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? Well, anyway, 1969, here's the story. Dr. Harry Wiseman, W-A-I-S-M-A-N, physician and biochemist, professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin, director of the university's Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. Memorial Laboratories for Mental Retardation Research. God, what a title. Let me read that to you again. Physician and biochemist Dr. Harry Wiseman, professor of pediatrics, University of Wisconsin, director of the university's Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. Memorial Laboratories for Mental Retardation Research. My God, that just reeks of vanity, doesn't it? That title takes three whole lines. I'm just George Gordon. Hell, that don't take three lines. Now, he's an expert on PKU, and that's because the word here I can't even pronounce. It must have 20 letters in it. It's a genetic disorder resulting in brain damage if undetected. It's called PKU. That's for dummies like me that can't pronounce whatever that word is. Well, Dr. Wiseman was approached by Searle in 1969 to conduct a study on the PKU effects of aspartame using primates. God, what an animal. He's using primates. He's using monkeys instead of people. God. The results of Dr. Wiseman's study, of the seven infant monkeys being fed aspartame mixed with milk, one died after 300 days, and the five others all had grand mal seizures. Well, that gets us off to a good start. You feed this stuff to six monkeys. Is that right? No, seven. If you feed this stuff to seven monkeys, one dies, and five of them have grand mal seizures. Well, that's good news because one of them didn't have seizures and didn't die, and he ate aspartame for 300 days. So that proves that aspartame has got to be safe. I love these corporate studies. Well, Searle deleted the negative finding before they submitted Dr. Wiseman's studies to the FDA as evidence of aspartame safety. So I guess they said, hey, we fed this stuff to a monkey for 300 days, and it didn't do jack squat to that monkey. And you know, that was the truth. They fed that aspartame to that monkey for 300 days, and that monkey didn't suffer any adverse effects whatsoever. Now, they didn't tell you about the one that died and the five that had seizures. Is that really honest? Honest to God, boys and girls, I mean, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that that's duplicious, that that's dishonest, that it's criminal, do you? I mean, all these people involved in this kind of crap have degrees after their names, and I would say you don't have to have a degree after your name to figure out that that isn't an honest study. That's not an honest report to be turning into the FDA. Well, Searle changed their story when the 1975 FDA Investigative Task Force discovered the withheld information. Aha! So now the FDA discovered that the Searle company had phonied up the dope that they were given to the FDA. Well, good for them. Well, Searle's reply was that this study was done by an independent scientist and therefore was not valid. Well, excuse me, but it was the Searle company that hired this guy, Dr. Wiseman, wasn't it, and paid him. And then when the study came out, they phonied up the study, and then they come back and they say, what? You know, I think what was this guy's name now? You remember that famous author I keep telling you? He said that there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. I'll think of his name here in a minute. I think I've been eating too much of that aspartame, and it's befuddled my brain. They further claimed that there was no evidence that aspartame caused seizures. Well, this is the Searle company. This is 1969 through 1975. I mean, these guys are liars on top of liars. I mean, who would believe such a story? I mean, I'm just reading you the story, just giving you the report. Do you believe this crap? Dr. Wiseman died unexpectedly in March of 1971 before he could complete all of his studies, but the testing done by him was considered pivotal by the FDA in 1975, meaning that the test is so important that it must be repeated if found invalid. Yet in 1980, the FDA said that it did not need to rely on this study. Huh. So the FDA found out that Searle lied to him. Then they said the study has to be done over again. Searle says that this guy is just one loose cannon on the ship, just one crummy scientist. He can't know what he's talking about, even though we hired him and paid him to do this, and then we dummied up the results and withheld the information from the FDA. By 1980, the FDA says, oh, we didn't need that study anyway. Searle then awarded a grant to Ann Reynolds to do a primate study to refute Wiseman's findings. However, she only evaluated plasma aspartic acid levels and not the aspartame neurotoxicity or seizure potentation. According to congressional records, she refused to testify at the congressional hearings. Gosh, now you'd think that this lady would want to come in, Ann Reynolds, and say, well, gee, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what my study shows. Hey, yeah, let me lay this on the line, because I'm just real concerned about people's health and safety and welfare, and I wouldn't want poisons to get put out there into the public's food. She wouldn't testify. Primates were never again used in subsequent tests, and that is regrettable because most of the other studies submitted by Searle to the FDA utilized rodents. Now, rodents must be fed at least 60 times more aspartame to approximate the equivalent intake effect on humans. Public outcry erupted over the proposed ban of saccharin when it was discovered that the rats used in the test cited had been fed the equivalent of 800 cans of diet soda per day. Even that would not take into consideration the incapacity of humans to metabolize substances in a manner similar to rodents. So, we're not going to test this on monkeys because monkeys more closely resemble human beings. So what we're going to do is we'll give it to rats, because these rats over here can take 60 times more of this stuff than can humans. Well, that's what this study says. Rodents must be fed at least 60 times more aspartame to approximate the equivalent intake effect on humans. So let's give it to rats, and then we can dummy up the study again. 1970, the FDA bans cyclamates during a time of serious questions about the safety of saccharin, leaving the wide-open field to aspartame. Robert Shuplin, acting director of the FDA's Toxicological Services Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. Listen to these titles that these guys give themselves, huh? Well, he's quoted as saying in part that the decision to ban cyclamate was more a matter of politics than science. Meetings were not held, things were not pursued, work was not done, and the people who were involved at the time were inadequate to do the job, so reported the Washington Post on May the 16th, 1989. That reminds me of the story I just saw on the news tonight. This guy, Abramoff, you know, the lobbyist that just confessed that he was bribing all these congressmen. Well, he went to an Indian tribe down in Texas and took $4 million from them because their casino had been closed down. And he said, you give me $4 million and I'll go to Washington and bribe a bunch of congressmen and get it reopened. So they gave him the money. What Abramoff didn't tell him was that he went to another Indian tribe and they paid him $16 million to have this Indian tribe that was closed down. So he was a double dipper. So he went and got this one closed down through his lobbying efforts for $16 million. Then he went to the guys that he just closed down and said, for $4 million, I'll get you started back up again. Hey, that's exactly what you have here going on with the FDA, Searle, and these alleged scientists. So they're dishonest at best, and they have long titles after their names, and letters, and they go to college. And when they come out, they're as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Of course, it makes a lot of money. But then it kills a lot of people, too. So we'll be back with more on this thing of cyclamates and aspartame and how aspartame got going when we come back. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy, procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The law school website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, and they are correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend us. And most of the authors and publications that we do cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about the history of aspartame. If aspartame is so bad, then how come the FDA approved it and put it out in the marketplace? I mean, after all, the FDA is there to protect us, aren't they? This is the story of a deadly deception put out by the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network. Now, this did not come off of the web. It's a printed document. I don't know where I got it. It was published in 1990. But I've seen references in other articles here off the web that refer to the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network, if they're still in operation. Of course, this is a 15-year-old report. Then my gut reaction would be that Google or any search engine would probably have them. Aspartame Consumer Safety Network probably get you more information about them. All right, going on. In 1970, the FDA banned cyclamates during the time of serious questions. And I would say that cyclamates were probably deliberately taken off the market to make room for aspartame. You know, same way that we see these kinds of things going on with lobbyists and the chicanery that goes on with our political process. Well, Dr. John Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, research psychiatrist at the Department of Psychiatry at the Washington University School of Medicine. He couldn't be just Dr. John Olney, or it just couldn't be John Olney, a psychiatrist said. He has to be the research psychiatrist at the Department of Psychiatry at the Washington University School of Medicine, because that makes him somebody. I'm going to listen to what Dr. Olney informed Searle, that aspartic acid caused holes in the brains of mice that he was testing. Ann Reynolds, a researcher hired by Searle, confirmed Dr. Olney's findings in a similar study. Now, that's 1971. This aspartame contains this aspartic acid, remember, 40%. Dr. Olney and consumer interest attorney James Turner met with Searle representatives prior to the FDA approval in 1974. To discuss Dr. Olney's 1971 study. Well, the Searle representative said that Olney's animal studies raised no health problems. Did you get that? The Searle guy walks into the meeting and says, well, just because this guy is feeding aspartic acid to mice and it causes holes in their brains doesn't mean that it's any potential health problem for humans. These people go to college for crying out loud to learn this kind of crap. Searle didn't notify the FDA of Dr. Olney's tests until long after the approval of NutraSweet. In fact, no tests were ever submitted to the FDA by Searle ruling out this type of neurotoxic effect. And it's important to note, according to law, it's not enough for a company to show that their product is not dangerous, but they must establish to the FDA satisfaction that their product is safe for human consumption. But we've already learned that the FDA is the lapdog of the corporations. I mean, they exist there to pablum feed us and make us feel real good about their approval. If I see a sign that says USDA approved, I won't eat it. If I see a piece of meat that says USDA inspected, I won't eat it. I know that crap ain't fit for human consumption. So whenever I find out that the FDA has approved something, I know that stuff ain't fit for human consumption, and I wouldn't feed it to my dog either, unless it gets into my chickens. Now, the FDA decided that Searle had submitted 13 tests in an attempt to establish that aspartame did not cause genetic damage, but memos from public records show that the FDA scientists who reviewed the tests found serious deficiencies in every one of them. Nevertheless, the FDA officials decided the tests could be relied upon to establish the safety of aspartame, although documents show that they admitted that there had been numerous problems with the veracity of the tests. I'm going to read that paragraph to you again. That's pretty important. You might have missed that when that guy turned left at the stop sign. Now listen up. Searle submitted 13 tests to the FDA in an attempt to establish that aspartame did not cause any genetic damage, but memos from public records show that the FDA scientists who reviewed these tests found serious deficiencies in all 13 of them. Well, so much for letting the corporation do its own testing. Hell, the fools, when they put the 13 tests in, they at least should have lied about it and dummied them up, don't you think? I mean, they're about as dumb as Bush going over to Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction. Now, you know Bush believed those weapons of mass destruction are there, because if he would have thought for a minute that they weren't there, he would have hauled a couple of plane loads in from Bethesda, Maryland, or from Fort Detrick or someplace and planted them. Don't you think? I would have. Hell, if I was Bush, I wouldn't allow myself to get caught flat-footed like that. And I figure Bush is probably just as dishonest as I am. So let's notice this. The FDA decided, on the basis of the information that was given them by Searle, that aspartame appeared to be safe and granted approval for limited use. So they looked at these 13 tests in 1974, and they said, well, they're all flawed tests, but we think that it appears to be a pretty safe product. Excuse me. This old country boy doesn't follow that line of logic at all. You know, without any degrees after my name, if I went out here and I fed something to my hogs and one of them died, and I fed it to him again, and another one died, and I fed it to him again, and another one died, and so on down the line, and I had 13 hogs die from 13 feedings, I'd come to the conclusion that damn stuff ain't safe for pigs. But, of course, I don't have a degree after my name, and so, you know, the FDA, all these guys have degrees. They go to college. They looked at 13 flawed tests. They said in their records the 13 tests are all flawed, but on the basis of the information given to them by Searle, aspartame appeared to be safe, and they granted approval. My God, I can't believe this goes on. Do you? Honest to God, I couldn't make this up, boys and girls. I ain't smart enough to do that. This comes right out of the report from, guess who? The Aspartame Consumer Safety Network, reporting on the FDA's records as to how they approved this stuff. So, you know, when you write me a nasty, snotty letter and you say, well, if the FDA approved it, what makes you think that it ain't safe? I don't think it's safe just because the FDA in their own records and files said the 13 tests that Searle did were all flawed. That's why I don't think it's safe. But don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I'm not here to get you to stop drinking Diet Coke. I don't care what you drink. I don't care what you eat. It doesn't affect me. Our job here is to review facts, disseminate those facts, and then let you intelligent human beings decide for yourself, well, how do I want to handle these facts? What do I want to do with them? So the FDA became very suspicious because it was noted that there were some serious side effects from several drugs produced by Searle. There were also the Olney studies indicating that aspartame consumption might have caused cancerous brain tumors in animals tested. The FDA decided to examine Searle's laboratory procedures, reporting practices, and some of the more important aspartame studies that were submitted. In 1975, a large task force was formed, headed by FDA lead investigator Philip Brodsky and assisted by FDA toxicology consultant Adrian Gross. They were charged with examining the original test material submitted by Searle. The task force's investigation included the falsified data that Searle had previously submitted to the FDA to gain approval for their Copper 7 IUD. Searle finally removed the IUD from the market in 1988 after losing a lawsuit of $9 million, despite their insistence of its safety. After several months of investigation, the task force submitted a 15,000-page document with a summary of 80 pages. My God, leave it to the government. 15,000-page document. Well, these guys are getting paid at taxpayer expense, so I just thought I'd let you know, here's your taxpayer dollars at work. They produce a 15,000-page document with a summary of 80 pages, which summarizes the 15,000-page document, which is a study of the 13 flawed tests and the lying hypocrisy that was submitted to the FDA by Searle that everybody at the FDA knew about. Let me ask you this. If you had a guy who had lied to you consistently 13 times, would you believe him when he came in the 14th time? Well, the FDA did. No, I wouldn't believe the guy the 14th time. I'm not sure I would have believed him the third, fourth, or fifth time. You know, after somebody lies to you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 times, it begins to set a pattern of lying that probably the 14th, 15th, and 16th time this guy comes in, he's probably still lying to you, more likely. Now, excerpts from the conclusions of their summary. We have uncovered serious deficiency in Searle's integrity. That means we have discovered that Searle is lying to us in conducting high-quality animal research and accurately, or rather too accurately, determine or characterize the toxic potential of its products. Notice the way they summarize this. We have uncovered serious deficiencies in Searle's integrity. Okay, that's political doublespeak for saying we caught them lying to us. They're a bunch of damn liars. The Searle Company is submitting lies to us. That's what we discovered. God, I don't know, folks, if there's any hope for a society of people that's this dumb. I don't hold out much hope. They went on to say, we have found instances of irrelevant and unproductive animal research where experiments have been poorly conceived, carelessly executed, or inaccurately analyzed and inaccurately reported. The cumulative findings of problems within and across the studies we investigated reveal a pattern of conduct which compromises the scientific integrity of the studies. Now, for you truck drivers out there, this term that says which compromises the scientific integrity of the studies means it's all bullshit. Now, that's in layman's language, BS. Some of the most revealing findings were that many of the test animals fed aspartame developed large tumors. That's reassuring. Many of the test animals that were fed aspartame developed large tumors. Tumors are kind of associated with cancer, boys and girls, kind of. Now, these tumors had then been cut out and the animals returned to the study. God, that's real honest. Let's see, we're feeding aspartame to these animals. They develop tumors, so we cut the tumors out, put them back in the study, and we shut up about the tumors. That reminds me of the meatpacking houses. I got to tell you a little story here. I had a guy here one time. He worked in the meatpacking industry. Just a laborer, just working on the assembly line over there. And he says, well, Gordon, what do you think they do with cows that have cancer? I said, God, I don't know. He says, you cut them out and grind them up for hamburger. Now, that made me feel real good because, see, I thought that maybe they just took those animals and cut up the tumors and fed them to you in your Big Mac. They don't. No. No. See, a cow comes in and the cow's got big tumors. You know, they cut the tumors out and they throw that away. I don't know where they throw it. I guess it goes into the bypass protein. They feed it back to the cows. But anyway, they take the tumors, they cut them out, and then they take the rest of the meat in the animal, and they grind that up and put it in your Big Mac. Now, that'll make you feel real good about supersize me. In some cases, the tumors were not examined for malignancy nor reported to the FDA. Well, why in the world would we want to inspect these tumors for malignancy? My God, we might find that they are cancer. We don't want to know that, do we? Not at the Searle Company. Not if we're trying to test animals on aspartame. The animals come in here with tumors, and we cut the tumors out, and then we shut up about the fact that we got tumors in these monkeys or these animals that we're testing. My God, if we tested them for malignancy and we found that they were malignant, that they actually had cancer, that would link aspartame to cancer. We don't want to know that, do we, boys and girls? Well, Searle's representatives, when they were caught and then questioned on these irregularities, gotta love it, when they were caught with these damn lies, they stated that these masses were in the head and neck areas and prevented the animals from feeding. Some of the tumors reported autopsied in the original laboratory workbooks were not included in the final report sent to the FDA. In several cases, animals that were reported as dead were later reported as alive again. Now remember that this first guy, Dr. Wiseman, you know, back in 69, he took seven monkeys. One died, five of them came down with seizures, epileptic seizures. But one of them didn't have any symptoms at all, and that's what they started their reporting on. So from 69 to 75, I mean, these guys at Searle were lying to the FDA. The FDA uncovered their lies, wrote a 15,000-page report, called them irregularities instead of damn lies. You know, like Mark Twain. Mark Twain, he had a real gift. He was an honest kind of a guy. You know, kind of like Will Rogers. Cut old Will Rogers, you know. He used to tell it like it was, too. I like Will Rogers and Mark Twain. Twain's the guy that said there's liars, damn liars, and statistics. Yeah, these Searle people, and then a little later on, as we find out at the FDA, they're liars and they're damn liars who use statistics to lie to us and deceive us. Isn't that just real special? All right, well, in 1975, Dr. Adrian Gross, G-R-O-S-S, the investigative consultant to the 1975 task force, later said that the 16-month review was at best irrelevant because the group was limited to only analyzing whether Searle had lied about the data in its tests. They had been directed not to examine the methodology since the FDA had already accepted the validity of the tests. Can you believe this? Let me summarize it. Searle does 13 tests, submits them to the FDA. The FDA inspects them and finds out all 13 are lies. Some years later, after aspartame has been approved, the FDA comes back and says, okay, let's look at these reports again, and they do, and find out that Searle was lying to them. But we don't want to look at the product itself. We're only interested in the lies, because we've already approved the product. God forbid that we should say, oh my God, we found they lied to us, the tests were bogus, let's remove the authorization to sell this stuff. Let's revoke their license. I mean, let's not do anything rash. let's continue these experiments on people. Now, when drug companies do this with drugs like Vioxx and they start killing people, and people find out about it, they have to take this Vioxx off the market. Come to find out, Merck knew about Vioxx killing people 6 years before they removed it from the market, but it wasn't killing enough people to affect profits. It reminds me of the Ford Motor Company. See, Ford had a Pinto car back in the 70s, and this Pinto car had a gas tank. When you run into the back of a Pinto car, it would rupture the gas tank, it would catch on fire, and a number of people had died as a result of these faulty gas tanks. Well, as it came out later on, the Ford company knew that they had an engineering design problem with the gas tank, but they figured that in order to do a product recall and to fix all of those gas tanks was going to cost them $100 million. $100 million. And with all the lawsuits that they were sued about 30 times a year over those Pinto cars, and they were only paying out a couple of $3 million a year. And they said, okay, look, we would rather pay out $3 million a year over the next 10 years, $30 million, for the dead victims of these cars than we would to fix those cars and save those lives, because that would cost $100 million. Again, boys and girls, you know, it's nothing personal. It's just business. It's a logical business decision. And the Searle company, they've got a product that they want to get approved. Now, I don't know how many of these FDA people they had to bribe to get this approved. We'll find the plot thickens next time as we go a little further into the history of the approval of this product called aspartame. But you can see already that it's as phony as a $3 bill. There's got to be bribery going on here. There's got to be jobs and promises given and chicanery and, that's going on here. We don't know what that is. But the FDA knew that Searle was lying and that they had phoned up the test results, and they did a 15,000-page study over 18 months. Don't you think that cost a few million bucks? And you still got the product out there in the marketplace, and it's still out there killing people. We don't know how many, but it's still killing people. One of these days, I guess we'll find out. We'll take a look at 1976 next time in the Odyssey of Aspartame Approval by the FDA tomorrow night. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.